via medium wave, short wave, and satellite. This is the Dutch International Service.
Keep this frequency clear.
Media Network, the weekly communications review, hosted by Jonathan Marks.
Hello and Happy New Year, as all programmes say at the moment, and a warm welcome, especially if this is the first time you've tuned our way. So much news has come in over the last 7 days that we're making this show into an update edition. We've also finished moving offices at last, so we're busy resorting the Media Network archive and unpacking things from cardboard boxes. Callers to the answer line spotted that as from last Sunday, we added an extra frequency at 11.30 UTC for a Radio Netherlands English transmission to Europe. The new 41-metre band channel of 7130 kHz is doing better in southern England, we understand, for that lunchtime broadcast. But callers want to know which transmitter site we're using, a question I put to Jan-Willem Drexhager, head of our distribution and frequency planning department.
Well, we have an English transmission on this frequency, but I can't tell you the details this week because the BRTN, Radio Vlaanderen International, has a contest going on this week on the teletext page 474. So I hope I can tell you next week.
So you've been sworn to secrecy. So that's page 474 on BRTN teletext. If you're in the neighbourhood of the Benelux, you can see that. So next week we'll have more details.
That's right.
John. But in the meantime, of course, 7130 is carrying Radio Netherlands, but from where, we're not telling you.
Media Network's News Review.
And to wade through the wireless news, joining me now is Diana Janssen.
Well, Jonathan, for the third year running, the Dutch transmitter authority Nozema, PTT Telecom and Philips have worked together to transform the TV and FM transmitter site at Lopik, in the heart of the Netherlands, into the world's largest Christmas tree. Throughout the holiday period, 120 so-called master color lamps hung in the guy wires have illuminated the 375-meter-high transmitter tower. It can be seen for about 25 kilometers, and I know because I drove past it myself. Each of the special master color bulbs produces about 4 times the light output of a conventional halogen bulb, which Philips hopes it will eventually replace. The lights remain on for a few more days, until the 6th of January. And this year there's also something special for radio fans. From 0715 to 1530 UTC, a special amateur radio station is operating from on top of the transmitter tower. As well as 2 meter operations, a shortwave ham station is operating until this Sunday in all the standard ham bands with the call sign Papa Alpha 6 X-ray Mike Tango. That's PA6 XMT.
No exact frequencies, I'm afraid, but they couldn't tell us yesterday afternoon when we called them. Eric Coyer was one of several listeners to point out that Radio Luxembourg has ceased shortwave transmissions on 6090 kHz as from last Sunday. 6090 was used for their French programmes during the daytime, and the German service on 15350 kHz has also disappeared, so we understand, and so ends an era. We're off now to Victor Gunatilica in Colombo, who has details about the progress, or lack of it, in the construction of the new Voice of America relay station in Chilao in Sri Lanka. Victor, judging from press reports, it looks like the opposition to the new shortwave site has resulted in things being put on hold for time being. So what's the current situation?
From December itself, Jonathan, there have been various protests right here in the city, demonstrations and handing in protest notes to the embassy and public meetings, and also at the VOA site and in the neighborhood, demonstrations and sit-down strikes and things like that. So very recently, there was another bit of a interaction between the security personnel and the villagers, and it appears that the security post right to the entrance of the VOA complex was burnt down by the demonstrators. And also, a government electricity supply transformer complex where they have installed new transformers to supply electricity to the VOA station, that one of the transformers was damaged. And that's the report I have so far about the real activity at the station itself. But nothing was, no harm was done to transmitting equipment or antennas or anything off the station itself.
But when the Voice of America originally signed the contract with the Sri Lankan government, it was a different party in power. And I believe the party currently in power had said that it was going to close the station down.
Well, yes, this is what happened. There was a lot of politics involved, and the Catholic Church took up a position against the VOA station. And this area where the station is located is predominantly Roman Catholic, and some low-key politicians, in fact, went on record to say that they are going to get the station to close down. So now that the opposition has come into power, they find themselves in a very difficult position. They want to go ahead with the station because they find that technically there's nothing really to be against. It's a political issue. And there's a lot of American aid and government industry quotas and things like that involved. So the government would like to go ahead because the government likes to invite foreign investing and all that. So it's a very difficult situation for the government.
Okay, now to your own personal listening. Did you manage to do any tuning around over the Christmas and New Year holiday?
Oh, yes, and I was happy to hear a new station from Ethiopia, and that's Radio Fana, which is operated by the Ethiopian government. And they put in a very strong signal on 9335 kilohertz, 9335 kilohertz. And looking through some recent notes, I find that this station is an Ethiopian government station, according to BBC monitoring. And they heard the station on 6210. And so we have two frequencies for the station, and that's 6210 and 9335. Now, my own listening gives the following schedule for this station. That's 3:30 or 0330 to 8 hours UTC and 15:30 to 17:30 UTC.
Fun Radio Fanatin.
As you can hear, pretty good signal, but unfortunately there are no programs in English.
There's absolutely nothing in English, Johnson. It's only Ethiopian dialects and Amharic.
Okay, anything else you managed to hear?
Well, every year around November, December and January, the real northern winter months, when although Sri Lanka doesn't have any winter months as such, we have a slightly increased darkness. And this is the time to hear the exotic Papua New Guinea stations. And right now, around 20 hours UTC here in Sri Lanka and South India, we are hearing a whole crop of Papua New Guinea stations. On 3305, we hear Daru, 3315 kilohertz, Radio Manus, 3345 kilohertz, that's 3345, the station in Popendetta, and 3275 Radio South Islands. And finally, Port Moresby on 4890 kilohertz. They are really interesting catches for us, Jonathan, because Indonesia is just on our doorstep, more or less. So the Papua New Guinea stations give us more exotic listening.
I wish I could hear them up here, but I'm sure some people further north in Scandinavia can hear them. Still, there we are. We can only dream. Anything else?
Oh, yes. Aman Jordan has been using two new frequencies since late December. And at this time, we have four transmitters with the two new frequencies, four transmitters in the 25-meter band with their main Arabic programming at 3 hours UTC. The two new frequencies are 12,000 kilohertz, 12,000, and 11,960 kilohertz. And these two new frequencies are in addition to 11,940 and 11,810 kilohertz. All four transmitters give very good reception here in Sri Lanka.
Victor, thank you. to Germany, and Deutschlandradio Berlin switched off the old RIAS radio in the American sector shortwave transmitter in Berlin, which used to use 6005 kHz for decades. In November, the longwave transmitter at Burg in eastern Germany was also switched off. It was used to broadcast programmes of Radio Volga to Russian troops stationed in Germany until August of last year, when the commercial station, Radio Europa, took it over, but clearly it wasn't worth the high cost of keeping the old and rather inefficient 200 kilowatt transmitter on the air. On the other hand, just west of Berlin, the old transmitter site, which used to belong to Radio Berlin International, voice of the GDR, is to get a facelift. German Telecom will expand the site to include 500 kilowatt transmitters plus rotatable antennas, although it's expected that the old Jülich transmitter site west of Cologne, very near to the Dutch border, will probably be phased out to compensate. Jülich uses 100 kilowatt transmitters. Deutsche Welle has also to cut back its printed programme schedule to 4 issues a year. It wants to put more money into electronic publishing via the internet. In neighbouring Austria, all the medium wave stations signed off for the last time on Saturday night. At least it looks like the last time, as the last stroke of midnight died away on 1476 kHz, ORF played the Blue Danny waltz and pulled the plug.
The South African Broadcasting Corporation says it hopes the government will be able to find 150 million rand, and that's about 30 million pounds sterling, to help finance its activities in 1995, including a significant increase in educational programming. At the start of December, SABC announced 800 administrative jobs will go this year as part of a 10% overall budget cut. Some of the money saved will be pumped back into program production. The SABC has decided to sell off its signal distribution network, Centec, which is responsible for putting radio and television programs on the air. The SABC says it would prefer not to have to carry commercials on its domestic channels, since the commercial climate is not very rosy at the moment. It's a struggle to compete for the advertising revenue. South Africa has already closed its external television operation that was set up during the days of apartheid to supplement the external radio service Radio RSA.
Back to Holland, and there have been some changes to the Dutch domestic radio scene. At 22 hours UTC on Saturday, December 31st, the Dutch press agency, ANP, put out its last news bulletin on Dutch domestic radio.
11 uur radio nieuwsdienst verzorgd door het ANP.
The Netherlands Broadcasting Corporation, NOS, has taken over the radio news division of the ANP. It sounds like this.
8 uur, dit is de NOS met het nieuws.
A working party set up here in 1993 to study the establishment of a Dutch national audiovisual archive has concluded that it shouldn't happen in the short term. 4 main archives currently exist round the country. There's the audiovisual archive of Dutch domestic radio and television, run by the NOB, the Netherlands Film Museum, the Foundation for Film and Science, and the Netherlands Government Information Service. Each is afraid they would lose their identity if all the archives came together. The report highlights serious problems in trying to conserve the past. The costs to work through the backlog in cataloging and conserving are estimated at $60 million a year.
Thanks for your feedback by phone, fax, letter and electronic mail, because you're helping to shape the future programs that are broadcast on Radio Netherlands. Remember that comments and questions always reach the producers concerned. So listen to us, because we listen to you.
More details now on the Transworld radio relays going out from Channel Africa transmitters in Meyerton, South Africa. It seems these English religious programs are going out to West Africa from 0604... to 07 hours UTC on 11730 kHz, and from 19 to 21 hours, 9510 kHz, is used for programmes in Yoruba, Fulani, Hausa and Twi. Swahili programmes to East Africa go out from Meyerton on 9500 kHz, from 0332 to 0428, and from 1804 to 19 hours on 9525 kHz. Further plans include relays from 21 to 22 hours UTC to West Africa, as well as, it says here, transmissions to South America. Transmissions to South America would be an interesting move, actually, since shortwave transmissions from TWR's own facility in Bonaire, in the Netherlands Antilles, were suspended back in 1993, and the transmitters dismantled on the grounds that Latin America was no longer an interesting shortwave target area. Radio Netherlands has announced that programmes in Papiamento, designed for listeners in Curaçao, Bonaire and Aruba, are to be expanded shortly. Until now, Radio Netherlands has made a weekly request programme in this beautiful language, which is widely spoken in the Dutch Antilles. But there's clearly a need for regular news and current affairs material linking the communities in the Caribbean with those living here in the Netherlands. A new youth programme will also be part of the package, fed by satellite to participating stations in the Caribbean region. To the Pacific, and BBC World Service is seeking to restore local relays of its programmes in New Zealand as soon as possible. The medium wave relays of World Service have been replaced rather suddenly, as Arthur Cushion now reports from Invercargill as part of his listening survey.
Yes, they've actually stopped and we've been replaced by the Voice of America 24 hours a day. The World Service was sold by Alan Gibb, the founder of the idea in New Zealand, to David Henderson, a Christchurch businessman, but immediately the BBC cut the World Service in New Zealand because there was no contract. And in its place, in Auckland and Wellington, they're hearing the Voice of America 24 hours a day. But I understand from the BBC that their Pacific manager of World Service is coming to New Zealand to discuss the problem. But there's quite a lot of newspaper controversy and letters and people ringing up and even getting in touch with the BBC in London complaining about the loss of the frequencies, which was 1386 in Auckland and 1233 in Wellington, carrying the World Service 24 hours a day.
And now it's VOA.
Now it's VOA. Not a suitable problem, really, because we've got, Let's Learn English and Slow Speed English and things like that. It's not so much as an entertainment feature as the World Service is. We've got an interesting sidelight right at our back door here, Jonathan. Probably one of the world's most southerly broadcasting stations is operating at the moment from Stewart Island. That's across Fovo Strait from Invercargill. It's accessible by catamaran and aircraft. It's an unspoilt island, very large island, and it's all just native bush and walks and the fishing and salmon fishing. And they're on 96.4 FM, and quite an interesting signal to hear that part of the country because there's no power service or anything. Everybody has their own generators and things like that. Very isolated area, but it's a very popular area in the summertime.
It must be pretty warm by now, isn't it?
It's not very warm. At the moment, we're 11 degrees in Invercargill today, but we have had up to 27. But our summer is very variable at the moment. It's very hard to predict, day to day, what's going to happen. We're in that Almira system of weather predictions and problems, and that's our trouble at the moment.
Okay, that was a very local item. What have you got for us next?
Well, Vanuatu, the 2-kilowatt medium-wave transmitter I mentioned last month for Esperada Santo has been assigned 1179 kilohertz, and they've also made some registrations of other shortwave channels for the 10-kilowatt transmitters. That's 2485-3330-4960-6100. That's as well as the usual 3945 and 7260, the present frequencies. And thanks to D-Australia for that information. Now, going to Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar had been heard in English at 0910 to 0940. That's to Australia, and two channels, 12,000, and the other one is 7290. Now, it's also broadcasting to Southeast Asia from 1445 to 1530 on the same frequencies, and announcing a transmission to Europe, 1930 to 2000. That's on 13670 and 17900 kilohertz. There are some other transmissions in English, but they're not on a daily basis. Philippines, Radio Veritas Asia, their broadcast on 11790 concludes at 1130 UTC, and they remind listeners they're moving to 9670 for a program in Burmese. South Africa and SABC Moreton transmitters have been heard with the BBC program in Portuguese. This is a 30-minute transmission, 1700 to 1730, and quite surprising signals here on 3395 for that broadcast. And Sri Lanka, back to Victor's area, SLBC has been heard at 1730, and English frequency announcements, and the frequency is 9720, but following that, the Voice of Russia World Service opens on the channel.
Media Network, Skywave Patrol.
And if you have a comment or question, our telephone number, 24 hours a day, is 31 for the Netherlands, then 35724222. More developments now from Nick Meanwell.
Well, Jonathan, 2 years ago, several press releases went out from the Gannett Company of Arlington, Virginia. The company that owned the newspaper USA Today was getting into a different kind of radio, Sky Radio. No connection, by the way, with the European venture. Airline passengers flying across North America could listen to the news, weather and sports service by renting a pair of headphones. Sky Radio arrived, arranged satellite delivery to around 460 planes, and now will be terminated on December the 23rd. Whilst airline passengers have enjoyed the service, advertisers have been scarce, to say the least. The company's image was also dealt a blow a few days back when the US Securities and Exchange Commission filed a suit alleging that Sky Radio president Thomas Farrell headed an insider trading scheme leading to more than $410,000 of illegal profits. However, another company in the US has announced plans to start a new 12-channel radio service for airline passengers in the course of 1995.
Some computer news now about the internet. Media Network listener and communications specialist Pete Costello has launched a free catalogue of hypertext links to FTP, Gopher and World Wide Web files and services designed to interest the shortwave listener. His colleague Ralph Brandy has also compiled a useful reference full of frequently asked questions about international broadcasting. In addition, over 200 hypertext links are listed. These include direct links to shortwave, AM and FM broadcasters, solar reports and images, scanner information files, audio files, ham radio information, and much more. The magic URL code to remember is simply this, http://itre.unces.edu/radio/. Pete Costello reports that the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, has now upgraded its World Wide Web internet presence. The code there to remember is http://radioworks.cbc.ca/. And you'll find a lot of news about the CBC and also Radio Canada International, including their latest schedule and what's on sale in the CBC shop by mail order. It also looks like Radio Exterior de España in Madrid is going to be on the internet in early 1995, the latest shortwave broadcaster to be there, while Radio Televisión Éireann in Dublin is also available over the internet. Their World Wide Web page is http://www.bess.tcd.ie/island/RTE.html. I hope you're taking notes at all this. Anyway, these sites include digital audio files of RTE broadcasts. Wesley Boyd, RTE's Director of Broadcasting Developments in Dublin, told us there are no plans to revive a shortwave external service that used to be running decades ago. But Ireland is active on satellite as well as via the internet. The entire Radio 1 channel is broadcast live to Europe on Astra 1B. It's on the audio frequency of the VH1 television channel. That's 22 on 7.56 megahertz. That's the audio subcarrier. And when Radio 1 is off the air, RTE's popular music channel 2FM is broadcast from midnight 50 to 06:30. In North America, RTE is part of the World Radio Network service on the Galaxy 5 satellite. Now, if you don't have satellite equipment, the alternative is the telephone. RTE provides concise news and sports telephone bulletins, which are updated several times a day from Dublin. If you're in the US, it's a 1-900 number, 1-900-420-2411 for news, and 1-900-420-2412 for sports. In the UK, the RTE provides a similar service, 0839-111-301 for news, and 0839-111-302 for sports news direct from Dublin. Those numbers can't be accessed from outside the respective countries.
An advertisement in the ultra-conservative newspaper American Spectator offers a fixed-tuned shortwave radio. For $40, you get a set permanently tuned to 15420 kHz, the frequency for WRNO in New Orleans, which relays the Rush Limbaugh talk show. The number for orders is 1-800-DITTO-HEAD, a reference to people who agree with what Rush says on the radio. Curiously, 15420 kHz is also used by China Radio International for part of the day, which might generate some angry phone calls.
Richard Whitston, who lives in Zambia, writes with a follow-up to an item we carried in April of last year. Two American professors were working on a book about the famous transoceanic series of shortwave radios manufactured by the Zenith Corporation. It was due out before the end of the year, says Richard. So what happened? Well, I spoke to John Bryant, who's one of the authors of the book, The Royalties of Radio, and he explained they've just finished checking the galley proofs and the book should be out at the beginning of February, priced at $25. We've got one on order, and when it arrives, we'll run a review of the stories behind the famous radio pioneer Commander MacDonald and his Zenith Corporation. Commander MacDonald had a very good friend in the radio business called Powell Crossley, and there's a story emerging with a connection to him.
Well, it seems that local leaders in the village of Bethany, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati in the USA, have suggested that the 650-acre shortwave transmitter site, closed in November, should be turned into a radio museum, designed to be a major local tourist attraction. During the Second World War, the federal government turned to Cincinnati radio pioneer Powell Crossley Jr., and a shortwave station was set up next to Crossley's high-power medium-wave transmitter, WLW. Most of the programs were aimed at occupied Europe. The Bethany Township is to enlist volunteers to convert the building, which will also house a high school, a senior citizen center, as well as the museum.
So maybe a new life to VOA Bethany. Now to Chris Greenway on the line from Caversham Park, Reading, home of the Foreign Media Unit of BBC Monitoring. Chris, so far we've been talking about a lot of shutdowns in the programme, but it's not all switch-offs, is it?
One piece of news was that last week you reported in Media Network that the long-wave transmitter near Oslo on 216 kHz would be closing down at the end of the year. But in fact, we've observed since the start of January that it remains on the air.
Oh, maybe a last change of heart, who knows? But Austria did go, didn't it?
That's right. We've confirmed that all medium-wave broadcasting by ORF in Austria has ceased. But another station that, in fact, resumed some medium-wave broadcasting at the beginning of the year was Estonian Radio. They hadn't closed down all of their medium-wave transmitters, but back in August of 1993, two of their larger transmitters on 1035 and 1215 kilohertz went off the air, and that affected both their domestic services and their external service, which, as well as shortwave, also used 1035 kilohertz. But from the 1st of January, they've brought both these channels, 1215 and 1035 kilohertz, back. They're both relaying the Estonian radio's first program, and we don't know as yet whether they have any plans to use either of them for external broadcasting.
Okay, what about long wave? Because you mentioned the need that Norway hasn't pulled a big switch, but meanwhile, there have been other stations popping up on long wave.
Yes, well, there's plans announced by Georgian Radio, which already uses long wave, that they're going to acquire a new 500 kilowatt transmitter, though they don't actually say when this will be, except that it will be soon. Though, given that Georgia's many economic problems, one wonders just how they've acquired the funds for this, and it might take perhaps a little longer than they think.
Chris, thanks for the briefing. Now, who's next?
Now, Mike Bird with his big-time propagation survey.
Indeed, let's look back at shortwave conditions over the last 7 days, Mike.
A recurrent coronal hole produced active to minor storm conditions on Tuesday and then active conditions yesterday. The solar flux was 79 on Wednesday the 28th. On Thursday it reached 80, Sunday saw it drop to 75, and by Tuesday it was back to 77. The average works out to 77.4, which equals an effective sunspot number of 16, and that's down on the previous week's level of 21. The geomagnetic field disturbance indicator, the estimated planetary A index, range between 4 and 20, which represents quiet to active conditions. The magnetic field was generally quiet to unsettled all week, except on Tuesday and yesterday, when the coronal hole produced generally active conditions. This was slightly worse than we thought it would be.
It's pretty hot in Melbourne, I understand. Was it about 30 degrees down there?
Yes, 30 degrees, and we've got more to come today.
Good gracious. Now, what about shortwave radio conditions between now and next Thursday?
IPS Radio and Space Services expects solar activity will remain low. The geomagnetic field should be quiet to unsettled until Wednesday and Thursday, that's the 11th and 12th, when we expect another coronal hole will produce unsettled to active conditions.
Mike Bird, off to get some ice packs, no doubt. Deanna Janssen and I are now off to finish the research on the number station feature that we've postponed to next week because of the news review this time round. Wherever you are in the world, have a peaceful weekend.
It's a Radio Netherlands fun-packed features winter. 'Cause when the weather's cold, the features are hot.